Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hey. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hypecast Show.
I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell.
And I am channel creator and president, Jeff May.
Yes. Channel figurehead, Jeff May.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm like the queen. Absolutely.
So we've got some stuff to talk about.
We have specifically one thing to talk about.
I expect we're going to spend at least a third to one half of the runtime of this episode talking about the Meg.
Yes.
The Meg.
Everything about the Meg. The Meg.
The Megs.
Who let you into the house?
Well, hello there.
Nope, that's not good. That's not good. It's the giant shark movie that's been in development for almost 20 years.
Directed by John Turteltaub.
Mm-hmm.
Director of and Phenomenon. Y'all know Phenomenon?
I do.
Phenomenon.
Yep.
I do.
I am so excited about this.
But yeah, weirdly, this movie has been in development for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's based on a novel, believe it or not. Like, who would write this novel? It's the very first thing I ordered from Amazon was this book.
Nice. 20 years of development, and they landed on Jason Statham.
Jason Statham and John Turteltaub.
It's great.
But think about 20 years ago landing on Jason Statham, you know?
In 95?
Like, lock, stock to snatch level.
It was pre-snatch.
Yes. Well, yes. Snatch was 2000.
Yeah.
And he plays a scientist?
I think. I mean, the character is a scientist in the book. I don't know. The movie, what I've seen in the trailer, is vastly different from the book, which is fine. The book's not particularly good.
The trailer had an opportunity.
Yeah, we were talking earlier. Books aren't good about sharks. Jaws is not a good
Jaws
book.
Jaws is a bad book, yeah.
Like,
that's
fine.
It's very bad.
And like also, not for nothing, but Jurassic Park's not a great book.
Oh, I like Jurassic Park.
Did you read it before you watched the movie?
I did.
Wow, that's rare. That's insane.
A few times.
Really?
I never read it. I was a little 10-year-old fucker.
You're a creep.
I am.
You're a little creep.
I'm a little piece of shit.
There's that scene where like the T-Rex is like licking the guy and pulling him with his tip of his tongue out of a waterfall.
He's grabbing Tim with his tongue.
It's a weird sequence.
It's a lot of weird, not great things going on in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys
Books
think?
Are dumb.
Sorry. Do you guys think they should have showed the shark? Because my first instinct about watching this trailer is the little girl part where she's like, there's a monster out there and he looks at the teeth. That would have been more effective if they didn't show the shark attacking like a second earlier in the trailer.
That's true.
Like they blow their wad immediately.
Well, they
the
want
shark.
You to see that their giant shark is not going to look like Sharknado.
Yes.
But like
which
all...
is fine. But remember like when the Godzilla movie, like the 98 Matthew Broderick, didn't show Godzilla for a while in the trailers?
No preview was going to do that ever again. No preview is ever going to allow
right,
that
like
to
I,
happen.
I learned what Godzilla looked like by seeing a toy at my local Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Right. That's, I really enjoyed the days when we would do that.
I had a conversation with somebody who produces trailers, and she said, here's the thing. You're not going to not see the movie if we spoil something in the trailer for you, but other people will not see the movie if we don't.
Right, and that's the other part of it is,
and theaters will not show it.
I had that feeling while watching this trailer, and then that feeling went away because I was just excited to see a giant shark.
Right, like this is all the shark stuff looks cool.
This is I'm afraid that this is kind of a snakes on a plane situation.
It feels a little
like
too jokey.
It's, yeah, and it's clearly a sci-fi original movie that somehow got a huge budget.
Right. Like, it's hard to make, like, I get 20 years ago getting a big
Deep Blue Sea 2.
Right, like a big dollar option to make this film. Because this the author of the book, Steve Alton, got a whole bunch of money for optioning his book back in like 95, 96. And it was that's even pre-Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. So he really hadn't seen a shark movie since Jaws.
Four.
Right, since Jaws Revenge.
Yep. Second best Jaws movie.
Yep, 1987. So it's like now that so much time, you can't, I don't think you can make this movie because you, all the Sharknadoes and the Ghost Shark and the Sand Sharks,
open,
and all the sci-fi movies.
Open Water did a good job of making shark terror.
Yeah, The Shallows was another Shallows one that took itself seriously. And I do wish this took itself seriously. That's my one criticism.
It's hard, though, because you have a shark that's the size of a fucking building.
Yeah.
This is
a serious fucking thing that just happened. Like,
well, I mean, it's so big that it wouldn't bother to eat individual people.
Yeah. Right. It's like a baleen.
Right. So it's like it almost kind of removes that fear that Jaws had where it's like, well, this thing is going to prey on humans that are in the water. This thing is so huge.
It's a Godzilla. It's going to smash
It's going to eat whales. Like, why would it bother to stop and eat tiny individual humans?
Well, it sounds like the plot of this is about a submarine getting attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's going to attack vessels instead of individual. There's that beach scene in the trailer that looks hilarious. That I think
poster / trailer is incredible.
Yeah.
I love that they made that choice.
Does it seem like this movie is something The Rock passed on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, is that when I was watching, there's something with like a helicopter and I'm just like, oh, The Rock was supposed to be in this.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, this I'm so happy Jason Statham.
And they went to Statham and he was like, all right.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Hey. It's a megalodon. It's a big shark from the Cretaceous.
It's a dinosaur shark.
It makes me so happy. And then there's a giant squid also in the trailer.
Right, but it gets
eaten.
That is
literally a plot of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
I don't know. I mean,
it's cheesy. The reason it will do, if it does well, the reason it will do well is because it's a B movie with a big budget.
Right, exactly.
It's the shark terror version of a Riddick movie. It's like a it's a movie that's not supposed to be good. It's a B movie, probably made by people that love the idea of what they're going for, but it's camp on purpose.
You can't, and that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. I don't think you can make this movie earnestly anymore.
I think I would have liked to see them try. I agree.
Because the shark is so big.
I would have liked to see them try.
These big terror event movies, these are the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you really think about it, like everything that was made like that after the fact has just not really worked that well. It was really like the Jaws and the Towering Inferno stuff, that like Poseidon Adventure, like all these
Earthquake.
Big, massive, terrifying events or monsters. Like, earnestly, you're right, like they become cheap, they become Piranha, you know, when
Piranha was a satire.
Well, yeah,
but yeah,
but that's the thing, they're purposely kind of cheesy.
This is why I still like Roland Emmerich, because Roland Emmerich, it feels like you can't tell if he's serious or not a lot of the time.
That's fair.
Same with I forgot his name. Did Starship Troopers.
Oh, Paul,
Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven, yeah. Like, I miss that tone where, like,
the tongue-in-cheek, wink, wink.
Yeah, well, it's the, like, Starship Troopers doesn't wink.
Well, yeah, like, it's satire. Verhoeven that takes doesn't, itself seriously. Yeah.
Right, it's played seriously, but the text is such that you know it's a satire. Like, I think movies don't do that.
Yeah, they want to know more.
Yeah. Do you want to know more? I think we've talked about on one of our, I'm not sure what fucking show it was on. We talked about like Pacific Rim, where it's like a lot of Pacific Rim's super hardcore fans like, no, it's great, it's dumb, and it's like intentionally dumb. And it's like, no, it's not intentionally dumb.
No, it's an anime. That's what Pacific Rim is.
That's fine, but it's like it's not tongue in cheek. Like that movie does not know it's dumb.
No, it is movies like Pacific Rim, and then there are other ones like I remember The Man with the Iron Fists, the one. Like they are
I think Man with the Iron Fists is a little more playful.
They are love letters to anime, clearly, in a sort of like we can finally do this on screen in live action. Like those always they're love letters, they're clearly not great, but they're fun for what they're going for, and I like that. I enjoy it. Like I love that because there are movies now that you can see that you're just like, oh, it's just they made a live action anime, that's fun, right? Pacific Rim was that for me. I really enjoyed it because of that. Shut your brain off movie.
you have to.
Yeah, well, and that's fine.
You have to. It breaks every rule it establishes within seconds of establishing it.
I think every time we do this show, we somehow boil down to bringing up Pacific Rim.
I don't mind the concept of a shut your brain off movie. It's when it's... I think Pacific Rim is a fine example of that. I've been very mad at that concept, though, for a while, because it's starting to be used to explain movies that shouldn't be that. I've heard defenses of, Jurassic World was one.
That shouldn't be.
Yeah, right. Where people are like, it's a shut your brain off movie.
That's
it's
not
like,
the tone
the
of
original wasn't, like...
Yeah, you're not supposed... That franchise does not allot itself that luxury.
Right, it's not a sci-fi... Like, that's...
Except Jurassic Park 3. You can shut your
brain
off.
Except Jurassic Park 3, yeah. It's ridiculous.
It has a talking so raptor dumb. In it.
It's super
That's
does.
The Ninja Turtles 3 of dinosaur movies. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But on the opposite side, I actually am really enjoying the influx recently of fun horror thriller movies.
Yes.
I am loving this.
I just watched Happy Death Day.
It's so much
fun. It's a
real
good movie.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's an excellent film.
It's not a horror movie. At no point is it a
horror
movie.
No, it's more like a mystery.
It's a thriller. What it is it's a throwback to those late 90s Scream. And it's clearly a Scream.
But
it's written by Scott Lobdell, by the way.
Yeah, and the way Scream is also one, it's a whodunit, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they do this thing where you go through the first day, and of course, if you've seen the trailers, you're like sitting there watching like, okay, one of these people is the killer. And they keep showing you different beats and different people that
it's so
are
much fun.
Possible suspects. And to the point where, like, the person that it was, I guessed it was that person, along with, like, six other people.
Yeah.
I kept being like, I think it's that person.
Yeah.
No way, I think it's that person. So they did
a good
job
movie.
You know what's actually really... I'm looking forward to Truth or Dare because of that same idea.
Right.
It looks like a fun... sort of scary movie.
And it's another Blumhouse movie.
Yeah. Like, I love this influx, because if we get another goddamn Paranormal Activity or version of Paranormal Activity, I am going to fucking scream.
I think those are done.
I think so, too.
Like, the most recent one was released, like, direct to streaming.
It was depressing how long it took for the public to be like, wait, I think they're cheating us out of money. Like, they got through what, four or five movies before people realized that
five.
Oh wait, nothing's happening in these movies.
Think about the Conjuring ones too. They've done four of those now, haven't they?
Yeah. Like, no, they've done four Insidiouses.
But at least
but Annabelle is a Conjuring movie. Sure. And so like but what you've had is
at least they try with those.
Yeah.
What?
I was just making sure your volume is up.
Oh no, we're good.
Okay.
That's not a good indicator.
Okay. Edit that out, Brett. but yeah, like I didn't like it is fascinating to me. I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre, but that every 5 to 7 years has a theme of horror. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those genres that does different permutations like once or twice a decade, like you were saying.
Yeah, like Japanese ports of you know, like
Japanese
when we had
horror,
our Ring and our
the
Grudge.
Well, because it's the genre I think that invokes the most passionate emotion from people, which is fear. Like it's something about the act of trying to scare people and trying to play with the concept of fear is like, it's one of the most creative genres for that reason.
And it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yes. Horror is by far the cheapest.
Which is do not weird cost a lot of money.
Doesn't have to be. Comedy, you could say, is cheap too, because
yeah, well, it's all in the writing.
Here's something fascinating about filmmakers too, is that they usually start in horror because people will consume horror even if it's cheap and bad, which comedy you don't get. Yeah. People won't consume comedy if they don't know anybody that's in it. It's very rare for that to happen.
Right, that's true.
But horror, people will just, they'll purposely watch bad horror.
Yeah. It's a shame though, because I've said this multiple times, it's great when experienced filmmakers and actors go back to horror.
The Mist.
The Mist is real good.
Shutter Island, Scorsese doing horror, What Lies Beneath, fucking Harrison Ford in a horror movie.
Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, directed by Robert Zemeckis. Like,
Zemeckis did the, what about, The Frighteners was, that wasn't a
that was
going
Peter
back.
Jackson.
That was Jackson. Peter Jackson early. Yeah.
That was Peter Jackson's last film before Lord of the Rings, which is still one of the craziest filmographies to look at, where it's like,
it's lunacy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Dead Alive, The Frighteners, Lord of the Rings? Yeah.
Like a couple of years pass and he's fucking...
Who gave this motherfucker Lord of the Rings?
Did you see The Frighteners?
Of course.
So did they.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those... I don't know. I didn't mean to like go off on a tangent there, but I am noticing that the new push is like enjoyable horror instead of just...
Bad.
Gross out torture porn that we got when mid-2000s. You know, you had the
mid-2000s. Horror's going real good right now.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the genre, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I really like anything A24 puts out right now for horror as well. The Witch.
Yeah, they've been putting out a lot of slow burn stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that. There's that new one coming out.
A Quiet Place that just came out. Which
A Quiet Place was great. Inherited, or is that what it's called?
Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary. Yeah. That looks terrifying.
Yeah.
I am here for it.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that on a previous episode. Yeah.
I listen to the show.
No, it's going to be super good, I hope. I mean, it looked great.
The reviews are going up pretty well.
Yeah, it's got like 100% Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's one of those. Yeah, so horror, we're doing real good with horror.
Oh, yeah. And A Quiet Place. Did you see it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You saw it?
I didn't like it, but I know everybody else does, and it's a good movie. I didn't do it for me.
I liked it. Thought it was solid.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
What's the other trailer we have? The Man Who Killed Don Quixote.
Don Quixote, starring Zartan / the president of the G.I. Joe universe. That's the
Jonathan Pryce.
That's the only way I will refer to him.
Mm. This how many years in the making is this movie?
Say what?
How many years in the making is this movie?
It's like easily 20, 20, 30.
It looks like it was filmed on a hill, on a single
hill.
Yeah.
Does it seem like Terry Gilliam maybe shouldn't have been so outspoken recently about these guys? Like, I got a new movie coming out. Let's talk about Me Too.
Yeah. Terry Gilliam is not someone I would want to chime in on the Me Too.
Would not. So. I mean, I'm bummed that he's not progressive, but it's like he's like a man in his 70s. Like, I'm not that surprised that he's not super woke.
I would argue that most of the Monty Pythons are probably...
problematic.
Bummer.
Right.
If you talk
probably
to them.
John Cleese being like, you know what, I should probably stay relevant. I'm gonna back out. I think you should be smart enough. If you're a filmmaker and you don't agree with the movement, shut the fuck
up. Just don't
up.
Say anything.
Just shut up. I mean, it's shitty and you should agree with it because it's a thing. But if somehow you just can't do it, shut the fuck.
Just don't
say
anything.
What is Terry Gilliam thinking? Like, I'm going to change everybody's mind.
Like, nobody was sitting around being like, I wonder what Terry Gilliam thinks about Me Too. Yeah. Like, he could have never said anything and nobody would have caught it.
Yeah.
Like, they never would have been like, Terry Gilliam's been real silent about this. It's like, no, we just never would have thought about it.
Yeah.
Because you're not the person we think of in connection with, like, movements.
And why can't you goose a lady? It's like, what? Trying to bring back goosing?
What?
That's not a good idea.
You maniac.
Yeah.
I feel like he's off most people's radars anyway.
Yeah.
This movie looks like I have zero interest in seeing it, and it's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, I saw his last film, The Zero Theorem. I really liked it, which was strange because, I mean, I'm a Terry Gilliam fan, but his recent movies, like The Brothers Grimm, was like not that great. And that was
Brothers
one of those movies where I was like,
what?
That movie made me think, like, is he getting old? Like, what's happening? Is he losing his edge? But then he made... Tideland, which is a fucking nightmare of a movie.
I have not seen it.
Tideland is about a little girl and her father, who's a heroin addict, played by Jeff Bridges, mm-hmm. and he brings them to his old like family house, I believe. I have only watched it once, and it's this old abandoned house in a field, and then he dies of a heroin overdose, mm-hmm. and that's like out. The first 15 minutes, and the rest is just her having a fantasy world in the house with her dead father.
Oh wait,
yeah, I remember this movie.
Really fucking crazy. He made it for very cheap. For obvious reasons, because no one wanted to see that movie. And it's just a major bummer of a film. And so like at that point, I was like, okay, Terry Gilliam's lost his mind. Like, it's a well-made movie. He's a good filmmaker. But it was like, why did you make that? Why did you make me watch
why
that?
Why is this the story you latched onto? Yeah,
The Zero Theorem, which I'm sure I'm skipping a few films here and there. But that's Christoph Waltz. And it's basically like him doing Brazil again. But a different plot and stuff, but it's that same look and feeling, and it's like more digital age Brazil, and I super enjoyed it. Has Matt Damon in it, who, you know, he's a big Me
Stealth
Too.
Stealth Matt Damon.
He's learning now to just shut up.
Yeah,
just he said that. He's like, you know what? I should shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he needs to tell Terry Gilliam. But yeah, it's fun. It's a weird fucking crazy movie.
So we got Adam Driver.
Adam Driver and Jonathan Pryce. Was this always the movie he was trying to make? Like, I thought trying to make a straight Don Quixote adaptation.
The behind the scenes of almost every one of his films is a fucking nightmare. Like,
oh, is this like a curveball? Like when they changed Ridley Scott's what became Robin Hood, and it was supposed to be the Sheriff of Nottingham.
It was a script called Nottingham, and it was on the blacklist. It was like one of the biggest scripts on the blacklist.
Yeah, it was like Wicked for basically for the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, in like both. The actor was supposed to play both Nottingham and Robin Hood, and it was supposed to be like a mystery about like that solving a murder or something. Like it was a much better script than
and
that
then they
piece
just
of shit we got.
Made a shitty Robin Hood movie.
Robin Hood reboot, like nobody cared about.
I doubt that's what this is, because Terry Gilliam is uncompromising. That's his whole thing. Producers fucking can't stand working with him, and yet they continue to, because I think he is such a notable artist.
His output is great. Yeah.
Yeah. That they fight him every step of the way, and then they're always happy with the result.
I can't remember if, because we've been hearing about this movie for decades now.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it started out even being called The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, or if it was just like a straight up adaptation.
Oh, I've always known it as this, but I could be wrong.
And then they made like Lost in La Mancha, right? They made like a documentary about the inability to make this film.
Yeah, there you go. It seems like this. It seems like Don Quixote should have been happening more. Like that a Don Quixote movie should have existed well before.
Right. It's weird that
The mainstream. It's sort of like when Zorro came out in 99. You're like, how have you guys not been James Bonding Zorro this whole time?
Right.
98.
Okay, that's fine. I was thinking about when I bought it on VHS at Blockbuster.
Sure. I just
rewatched
that movie.
But that does seem like
good.
A 98 movie. That doesn't feel like a 99
That's a
movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
I just rewatched it with Marina. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. But like, why weren't they making Zorro movies all the time before
that? I don't
know. Like, that to
it's
me,
a public
like,
domain character. And
maybe because that was back when they weren't just making, like, spamming us with remakes.
That's true.
Like,
well, yeah.
They were trying to.
But he reminds me, Zorro is a James Bond character to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's a consistent, has always been a part of pop culture.
I would guess that they aren't doing it now because of Lone Ranger. And because there's something, it's like just,
they learned the wrong lesson.
Yeah, but you're right. I bet if they did do a Zorro now, and they did it well, it would be a hit. And they could do a
right,
bunch.
Like the formula can't be, let's take this recognizable property from 100 years ago and spend $220 million on it like they did with The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, it's let's idea. Show some care and effort in what we're doing.
Right.
And show some respect. Like, think about it. Like, the two fastest growing markets in cinema are China and the Hispanic, Latino, or Latinx, markets. And, like, Zorro would be an absolutely fantastic character to use to appeal to that growing group while showing the sort of reverence among your standard American viewer.
Yeah, they're just bad at this.
Yeah. So The Man Who Killed Don Quixote.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, it's fine.
Oh, I was going to move on to just, you know, they could make a Zorro. Instead, they're just going to make a Han Solo movie.
Han Solo, new Han Solo trailer.
You want to see this.
I want the movie? Sure, yeah. Why not?
You're excited for it.
It looks very bad.
I mean, okay, so here's a thing that I've been talking about on stage lately, but in general, I have learned very recently to just sort of like do the blackjack dealer of like rubbing my hands and being like, I'm out. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to be angrily invested in movies anymore.
Sure. No, that's a waste of time.
Star Wars. This is going to be the ninth, technically 10th if you want to talk about Clone Wars, like theatrically released Star Wars movie. Maybe three of those movies.
No, it's going to be the 10th because we had the prequels, original trilogy, then Force Awakens, Last Jedi, then
Rogue One, and then also Clone Wars was released. It's animated for sure, but
But if you're just talking about the films, then it's
so it's the 10th or 11th.
Yeah,
maybe three of them are objectively good,
right?
And I've recently, and I am a devotee of this.
Oh, I know
of this. So with Solo, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, this is fine. I don't have a problem with it.
It's just like I'm not.
I think they're starting to burn out because I know that this trailer, not much of a turnout of people watching it. The Onion had that, they did a fucking joke about it, about people like finding out from the new trailer exactly how it would suck or something like that.
Yeah.
It's trending lower than The Meg. The
Meg is an exciting film about Jason Statham fighting a giant shark.
I think they're just causing that fatigue, and they're going to just burn us all out, and Star Wars will end with this fizzle.
Yeah,
no, it's not going to end.
Well,
it's
or it
not.
Won't end, yeah,
I mean, they're going to. I feel like if they continue to do one Star Wars a year, and it keeps being movies like Rogue One and Solo, then
they need to spread it out.
We're going to stop caring.
They need to escape.
We've
the
already
center.
Look, I don't care anymore.
What they need to do is they need to do what Marvel has recently, well, not recently because they've only existed for really 10 years. Your best movies are the ones that are a genre movie that happen to have the thing there.
Right.
If Solo was the comedy that they were going for, I would be all in.
But it's not.
I know. I like the idea that you can take this world and do something stupid with it.
Yeah.
Like, why not? I don't understand why we have to take this fucking movie, this movie franchise about wizards in space made for children, and we just need it to be serious or we want it to be R-rated. And it's like, Jesus, man, I am 36 years old. I need to stop getting angry about this movie for 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once I let that go, it feels so good.
The thing is, you say it's for 12-year-olds, but they don't. Make it
marketing.
Look like
they're not
it
marketing
for
it for 12-year-olds.
They know that people our age are watching it, and
like the
that's
point
part of it. I completely agree with you. Like this trailer, the thing that pisses me off the most, it looks like every Star Wars movie that's come out. Like visually speaking, it's that gray tone.
Right. It's like I learned like The Force Awakens was rough for me. It was a hard time for me. But that's when I learned to stop being angry at Star Wars. But like now, I just don't care. Like I see every Star Wars trailer and I don't give a shit.
I'm trying to avoid them just so I can go and see a movie and have fun.
Yeah.
What Solo, I think what they had originally kind of were going for is it was sort of like a teenagers on motorcycles doing a heisty kind of a thing. Like that, I think, was the original intent, but in a sci-fi setting, obviously,
right,
on motorcycles. That seems super fun.
Yeah.
Like that just seems fun to me. And a lot of these Star Wars movies aren't fun.
No.
They're so, like Rogue One was... I liked Rogue One. I thought it was a decent spy thriller kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't fun.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's good. It's just
fun. I disliked Force Awakens so much, and then I saw The Last Jedi, and I also thought that movie was real dumb.
Really?
So it's just like, I don't care about Star Wars right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's all well and good, but I don't know. I've just pretty much just let it go, and I get to enjoy movies for what they are instead of for what I'm bringing to the table.
Sure.
And that's, God, it feels so good. Oh my God, it feels so, like Thor Ragnarok being a straight up comedy.
Was great.
Was so much fun. Let's do that with Star Wars.
Yeah, just do that with Star Wars. Don't make everything a prequel. That's the main reason why I can't care about Rogue One or Solo, because it's like I've seen the parts of these stories that matter already. Like, I don't care about what came before.
I see the wall. I don't need to know how you made the mortar.
Exactly. You know, like, yeah.
And I also think fans need to stop pretending that they own this stuff. That's my 100%.
Well, across the board.
I think for every property. Fandom. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just for every property.
Yeah. The toxicity of fans that think they should be able to have input as to how the storyline goes removes the whole point. It's like if fans were, I'll use the idea of Shakespeare. Shakespeare's writing a play and fans were like, why is he doing it this way? He should do it this other way. And if he's like, you know what? You guys are right. I'm just going to change Hamlet a little bit. Like, fuck off. Like, yeah. Your job is to consume and enjoy. Your job isn't to dictate the direction of this thing.
Yeah.
And that's a problem for me.
I think yes and no. I do think whenever a movie tries to suddenly change to accommodate fans, it gets worse. Like Fantastic Four, they panicked in the middle and were like, oh wait, what are we doing? That said,
they should have known off the bat
they were making in the first place was going to be good either.
It wasn't a good film, but they should have known off the bat that if their Victor Von Doom was Victor Domashev,
yeah,
they should have known that there was a problem there.
Yeah. They should have just done Ultimate Fantastic Four.
That's kind of what they were doing.
He's
Victor Domashev in Ultimate.
And then
Van Damme.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Suicide Squad as well. They panicked halfway through.
Suicide Squad was at least fun.
I didn't have fun.
It was like a fun 80s action movie.
I get there were fun moments in it, but I was kind of
bored. Captain Boomerang.
But here's the thing. The people complaining about the Joker and being like, that's not the Joker. And I'm like, yeah, it is, because that's how they wanted him to look.
Yeah, he was.
So fuck off.
And he was fine. He was
good in it. I liked the grill because Batman would knock all his fucking teeth out.
Yeah. Right.
That makes sense to me that he would do that. And he is actually terrifying in there because he's a smooth murderer in that movie. And people seem to gloss over that.
He was also kind of a douchebag, which I find okay because
he would be.
He's a villain. Yeah. And like villains, we Dress, don't have to
who,
like
who
villains.
Who decided he was going to be a clown. He would be an insufferable douchebag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like why? I don't.
It's a fine take. And we've had enough Jokers. If that was like the first ever Joker we got on in a movie, I'd be like, what the fuck? But the fact that we've gone through so many Jokers.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
You got Nicholson. You got Ledger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one got Nicholson, you know, the Joker got Nicholson crazy rich and the Joker murdered Heath Ledger.
Right.
So
Jared Leto about the same.
He's going to send condoms to Will Smith. It's fine. Yeah. Like whatever.
Sure. Sure. Do that.
But yeah.
So the man who killed Don Quixote. Oh, no, wait, that's the new Solo trailer. I'm sick of sassy robots. I got to say.
Yeah. Little. They get that chip that they put in there in the
yeah. Just
this
like,
one looks like Alpha from Power Rangers.
Get it does.
Yeah,
It looks like Alpha 5. It's like get a new idea, please, Jesus. Like,
yeah,
we don't need another sassy robot.
The robots have had the most personality of a lot of these movies,
right?
Like,
but it's the same.
But that's
it's the same bit every time.
Yeah, it's just all the robots.
Like,
sassy.
Do you get it? It's a robot, but it has a personality.
It's like a people.
Do you get it?
It's like a person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the droids. What one of the problems I have with Star Wars is when they make a retro style movie and then they show you new droids that are way better than
right.
What they
Everything
have in the
is
future.
Way more advanced than what we saw in 1977.
Although one of the things that do you remember when they did a tour of the science of Star Wars at all the local museums, science
no.
museums? They did it at the Boston Museum of Science, and one of the things they talked about. So is that the Rebellion's ships were always designed to look shitty.
Right.
Because it was called, they literally were using found technology.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting, I think, the way they had put that, where all the Empire stuff would look crystal
clean.
Look
sleek and cool and mass-produced.
So I guess maybe in a way, if you had like maybe better droids 20 years ago, because the ones that the Rebellion are using are mostly shit that they threw back together, I get it. But in the same vein, one of my problems I had with Episode 7 and 8 was that they rarely, if ever, reused alien species from the original
Right. Like, they just had to keep coming up with aliens.
I think there keeps being these filmmakers who just want to make their mark. And so right. they want to invent new aliens. They want to invent new tech, new robots.
They invented new Yoda who doesn't matter.
And it's like, you have enough to work with.
Yeah.
Like, but take what you already have and then make an original story.
Yoda in Last Jedi was great. That was the puppet that they reconstructed and everything. I thought that was fantastic.
That puppet?
Yeah.
That puppet looked like ass.
No.
That puppet looked like a nightmare.
I've heard both. I'm a puppet moderate.
We are gonna agree to disagree on that one. I thought
that puppet looked worse than the puppet they used in Episode One, which looked like hell.
No, I mean they literally reconstructed the Empire Strikes Back puppet.
It looked worse.
You're wrong, Tom.
I'm not wrong. Funny.
You know what? Fuck you.
That fucking puppet, bruh.
I'm leaving this podcast network, and I'm not going to tell anybody why.
No, that's interesting. I need to go back and watch it because I remember like. Marking that puppet in my mind, being like, that puppet looks like shit.
I would like to watch that.
How does that
again.
Puppet look worse than the puppet they made 30 years ago?
40 years ago.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. We're aging rapidly, Tom.
We are. I'm 35.
So
it means that puppet came out 38 years ago. Jesus Christ.
But this is an example, though, of like when you were talking, going back to the previews. I don't want to see Venom.
No.
Yeah,
I don't want to see him. I want to
really
go to the movie.
At fans for being mad at the Venom trailer.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, we don't even get to see him. And it's like, motherfucker.
What do you get if you see him early?
Yeah.
Spoiled. That's it.
They did that with Spider-Man 3. They didn't show you Venom until the week that fucking movie came out.
Yeah.
I would have preferred him never showing up until the movie.
Yeah.
Never. Not once. I want that surprise. Infinity War, from what I understand, has like a couple things lined up that they're like, we're just not going to show it at all.
Right. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's definitely going to be a Wolverine, right? Or a Deadpool.
I don't know. And I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
I just want to be along for the ride. Because we used to get surprised in movies.
We did because we didn't know every stage of production for a film.
And the previews didn't give you the ending.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's one of the previews that we watched on the that you sent me that we watched gives you it's in the Meg where he's like, let's see you swallow this, you bastard.
Yeah, and it's like that's
and then he cuts him like, well,
ending.
That's clearly what you're gonna do at the end.
Yeah.
Like that's I don't need to see that. I don't need to see your sign off.
Last time I was surprised by a movie was Split. I was like the only
Bruce Willis.
What that was. And then when they dropped Bruce Willis at the end, that was fucking delightful.
Right.
I forgot what it meant to be surprised. I was thinking, I think we've talked about this, X2. I remember the ending of X2 and being like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're going to do Phoenix.
They're going to do Phoenix. I didn't find out by fucking some producer in front of a screen with the next 20 movies they were going to do lined up.
Yeah. I miss that. And I know we can't put that genie back in the bottle. But
we should.
We can. I think you can.
You can't because it's you let the horse out.
Would the momentum die out anymore? Do you think
people have been accustomed to knowing everything about their movies before they go? Now
they just have to throw out misinformation or something. Marvel tried doing that where they said they were going to do something else, and then they're like, "Psych, it's Civil War," and it's like,
right?
Thanks for telling us
society.
way early. Like you had that surprise,
and
then you couldn't fucking contain it.
Like they should have rode that Serpent Society train until like February of 2016 and then be like, surprise, it's fucking Civil War, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know what?
Pointed this out about Blade Runner is how great would the new Blade Runner been if you didn't know Harrison Ford was in it? And then there was just this moment where you're like, no, they're not going to. Yeah. Are they? And then he shows up and it would have been great.
The only person I know that sort of keeps those surprises going is actually J.J. Abrams. And he does a lot of that with like Cloverfield, for example. You didn't even know 10 Cloverfield Lane was coming out until like a week before. Like, honestly, they kept that thing so under wraps and then they just threw it out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I want that to be in the hands of somebody who's a better filmmaker.
Yeah,
fine, but like,
you're right. You're right.
Yes,
it's
possible.
He does do that. He just doesn't, he like does it to cover up like bad movies. I feel like the Cloverfield Paradox. Did you see that?
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
But 10 Cloverfield Lane wasn't bad.
No.
No, it was a better movie that they stuck aliens on in the end.
Well, we've discussed the Cloverfield.
Yes, we have.
But no, I agree. Like, marketing, like, the Cloverfield Paradox, great idea. Great idea of like, hey, this movie's coming out right now. It's out. Go
How
watch
awesome
it.
Is that?
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's he a just secret album drop.
The most, the biggest try, like surprise he did in terms of like something that, in terms of like fans and shit like that, felt like fucking Star Trek Into Darkness, where he's like, "My name is Khan," and everybody's like, "Yeah,
yeah, we know,
we know,
yeah, we knew that."
That we there know was you're Khan. Oh, someone was talking about this recently. It might have been someone in this room of comparing. No, it was the people at Red Letter Media were talking about this, because people, fans, that's the example of a fan surprise that isn't actually a surprise. It's just pandering, where it's like, if anybody in the audience was like, "Oh, it's Khan," like, they're a fucking idiot, because everybody.
Get out.
Yeah. Versus the Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
Oh, that, which is that a, was a
that's
brilliant.
How you do a fucking surprise.
That
and fans hated it, and it's like, yeah, that's what makes it so good. Because
they're dumb.
I love the Mandarin surprise is one of the reasons that Iron Man 3 still, in spite of how awful Aldrich Killian as a villain was, is Iron Man 3 still breathed fire.
I mean, it's a super loose interpretation of the Extremis
mixed with Fin Fang Foom.
Right. I would have loved to see Fin Fang Foom in a movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a super loose interpretation of that storyline, but I liked that villain.
Yeah.
Far as being like an anti Tony Stark.
That's how you fucking.
Yeah. The Mandarin. It's just. I mean, it looks.
It's great.
It was such like that twist, that turn was so brilliant. And when I watched it, I was like, "You have got to be fucking kidding me! That is brilliant."
Yeah.
And you finally pulled off how this works. You got somebody who is like by definition ethnically ambiguous to play this character.
Yeah.
He shows up. I don't want to. Is it? Can you say spoilers on a 5-year-old movie?
No.
You know, like
it's older than that, isn't it? Yeah. Or is it only 2013?
It was 2013 to 2014, one of those two.
Yeah, that's true. All
but, right. Like, when you get this thing and it's like, it's like, oh, my God, you made the Mandarin Middle Eastern. He's supposed to be an offensive Asian stereotype. Give me a buck-toothed Asian guy with a Fu Manchu mustache. Like, you couldn't have made the Mandarin work the way he is with magic Chinese rings.
He was doing the perfect fucking voice. He was doing, like, another actor being, like, the Joker or something.
And then just this... fucking weird failed theatrical actor that was hired to do this thing. It was great. So perfectly done that people couldn't handle something that brilliant.
Right.
The best line is when they find that out, and then Don Cheadle's like, "Tony, I'm going to shoot him in the face."
Like,
I feel like it's that compared to this is the Khan thing is like the equivalent of surprises that fans are used to now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, you know that thing you know is probably going to happen?
That thing you knew?
Yeah. Oh, it happened!
Here it is,
and it's
yeah.
Like give me something fucking shocking.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man movies used to try to do that, and they would just fail when they were just like, but there's also a new Green Goblin. And it's like, no, there's not.
No,
I want to see.
We knew. We knew.
I want to see Captain America dead in the first 10 minutes of Infinity Wars.
Not going to happen.
I know.
Not going to happen.
No, that's what I was saying. I just want some surprises.
I've said, we've already talked about this.
I've
emphatically talked about it. I feel like he's going to be the only person who lives.
I want it to be Johnny Cage and Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
We literally have had this conversation three times.
Yeah. Yes, we have. Let's move on. Okay.
Hey, what's going on with TJ Miller?
TJ Miller was arrested for a bomb threat.
Hey!
Jesus, he just keeps needs to get getting more together. And more problematic, doesn't he?
He offered a screening of the Emoji Movie. Hey!
I mean, fine. Like, if I got offered $5 million to the Emoji Movie, I would be in the Emoji Movie.
I mean, like, the other aspect of that, though, is when you're him, you also have other offers.
That's true.
Like, you can pick.
He's sort of famous / infamous for that, though, right? Like, he's in weird commercials. Like, he takes every offer.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think he's going to get a lot of offers if
you came up in stand up,
yeah,
selling out makes sense because you've done so much for free.
I am so prepared to sell out.
I will do it unceremoniously
in an instant. That's always been. Even when I was like playing in a band back in high school, I was like, I will sell out in an instant.
If any company out there wants us to be sponsored,
I'll fucking sell diet pills. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, Blue Apron,
Blue Apron,
send it over
all the way.
And I'll work for compliments even. Like I don't even. But that's why when I had that the sci-fi show that was supposed to come on, I was like, yes, I'll do that. And they're like, but it's not comedy. Are you comfortable with that? And I was like, yeah.
I'm very comfortable.
Yeah,
with it.
This will not hurt my brand.
I'm doing a thing that I don't think I can mention yet, but it's also the same thing where it's like, this is very much on brand for me. I will do this for money.
Yes, I will get paid to do the thing that I would have done for
money. Yeah,
yes,
I will absolutely. Get paid to do this thing that I enjoy doing, and it's not necessarily comedy, but it's like it's related to comedy. It's I don't know. It's
comedy adjacent.
Right. That Mitch Hedberg routine.
Yeah.
So you're a good cook. Can you farm?
So yeah, this T.J. Miller, what he was on a train and called a bomb threat to LaGuardia
about
on
like
another train.
Yeah. Oh. He was drunk. Don't know what
he was so drunk that they had to kick him off the train.
Yeah.
Get off my train.
It sounds like
ticket.
Give my family back.
I saw somebody did a tweet where it was just like, I bet TJ Miller goes through AA sponsors the way Trump goes through cabinet members or something like that.
I'm not into that. I have a
okay,
I have a weakness for people with addictions because it's a thing that I've struggled with.
The other thing is he's being accused of rape, right?
Yes, that's the bad part.
Yeah.
And also the bomb threat.
That seems
And also the bomb threat. I mean, both of those are inexcusable. I don't want to rip on the guy for having multiple AA sponsors, but for being a rapist and for calling it a bomb threat, yes, I will rip on him.
But if it's while being drunk, you can't. It's going to be hard to separate those
They're
two
related,
things.
But it's like...
I get it because it's a
sickness. I mean, other people get super drunk and listen to the Smiths for hours.
It is a sickness, but it's a sickness that is harming others.
Right, that's true.
So then you can kind of be like, I didn't drop my cell phone. Don't look at that.
Sure didn't. That didn't happen.
If a sickness is harming other people, you kind of want to be like, cut that shit out.
You need to stop. Yeah. You need to get the shit
out. Somebody's
like,
if you have HIV and you're just like having sex without condoms, we'd be like, well, it's an illness. But you're also harming other people.
Right. Then you have to do a serious evaluation.
And all the raping and bomb scaring.
Yeah, the raping inside, stuff, TJ. That kind of ended his career already, right?
I don't know. He got Deadpool 2 after.
Yeah,
it.
But I thought they had already shot.
Filmed.
Yeah.
It had already filmed.
So they Christopher Plummer his ass out of there.
Right.
They might have to at this point.
It was legitimately weird watching Ready Player One. We had a whole conversation about it with Dan where it was he's a major character in this film. How do I feel about this character? Because the character is trying to be funny and it's like, I can't laugh at you right now.
They could have voiceover replaced him too.
They sure could have.
That
should have
been
that could have been
super easy.
You never see him.
It's tough because sometimes people want to say an accusation is not an indictment. So, what do you do?
Well, the fact that this particular story, the lady filed a police report when it happened and there's more than one corroborating witness. It's like, all right, we can't ignore this.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying from a producer's standpoint or whatever, you're like, we're not going to not give work to everybody accused of something awful.
But also from a producer standpoint, you have to recognize the things that I just said and be like, this is harming our film.
Exactly. Yeah. There's going to be boycotts. People are not going to see it because you allowed this guy in your movie.
Yeah. So,
which is why that Christopher Plummer thing was one of the smarter things I've seen some do.
I gave him a fucking Academy Award nod.
Yeah, there. That was
an extra
fuck
you to Spacey.
They could easily just pretended it wasn't a thing that was happening. And
yeah.
No, but
that Academy Award nod was like a tip. It's like giving him a tip for doing the work. Yeah.
Ridley Scott's interesting because I don't think he said anything about Me Too, but he definitely came down on diversity in films when he was making that Exodus film. And he said a thing that's not false, but it felt like really...
He said it bad.
He was like, I can't sell an international film with non-white stars. People don't go to see those films.
That's the Chinese market wanted Matt Damon in The Great Wall.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not false, but it's like you have to. The only reason that's true is because it's all you're giving them.
It's all that's been tested.
Look at Black Panther.
Black Panther is a perfect example.
That's a big film with a lead actor that's relatively unknown.
Well, here's the thing is that when someone says look, I can't sell this movie. I need big stars, or else it won't sell. All I think is so your movie's bad.
So your movie's bad. Yeah. if the movie's good enough,
because you made a bad movie.
There are no stars in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
but it's international.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, international markets need a Tom Cruise, or they need a Matt Damon. That international markets do. Like, if they're going to see an American movie, it usually has to be a big star. Like, that's a relatively common, or at least it's the way it's done.
Or very high concept. Like I just said, Jurassic Park didn't have any stars, but you don't need stars.
Steven Spielberg was the star of that movie.
Right.
Like, you don't have to have stars. And plus, you know, I mean, Jeff Goldblum.
He wasn't a star.
No, he wasn't. He was...
That's the movie that made him.
No, yeah. He became a star, yeah.
I mean, are we just ignoring Earth Girls Are Easy all of a sudden?
We are.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh, I love that movie.
And The Fly.
But yeah, like, he's right, and it sucks that it had to be put that way.
It sucks that he's right, and he said it in a shitty way, but he's not wrong. But again, the flip side is, well, then we need to change that by giving the international community movies like Black Panther and shit.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking give him a huge movie that doesn't have a star.
But the other part about that is you can't say that Black Panther is like a starless movie when it's a Marvel movie featuring a character from Civil War.
It's a package.
Like, well, that's the beauty.
That's the other option.
You sell them on a concept, and then...
That is kind of the beauty of Marvel, is they have the luxury of they can cast non-huge stars if they want to.
They can put Tom Holland as Spider-Man because Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Yeah. And that's their strategy. They get unknown actors so they can lock them into these predatory contracts.
Right.
I mean, they're not that predatory.
All right, here's the thing is that that's definitely, I feel like that's kind of why they're doing it.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% why they're doing it.
But it isn't a bad thing for actors, because if you're a new actor... getting to be fucking Spider-Man.
When you're Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Right, when you're Chris Hemsworth, when you're Tom Holland.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth making, what,
$300,000?
Yeah. For the first Thor?
Yeah, and then it goes up.
He's not making $300,000 for this one coming up. Like, he's getting probably, what, $11 million or something like that?
It goes up each movie. Like, it was a big story with, like, when it was revealed how much Gal Gadot made for Wonder Woman. It's like, well, yeah, but then it scales. Like, I mean, Chris Evans got the same money.
There's a lot of...
It goes up for each sequel. I mean, they don't not take care of you, but it is like you're in a machine now.
Selective outrage for certain things. And I think we may have talked about this before, but when everybody was like losing their mind that Wonder Woman was snubbed for an Oscar, and I was just like, what did you think it would win? And like, do you think it was best movie? Because it objectively was not. That third act is bad.
I really like Wonder Woman. The very end of it is baffling to me.
The third act is bad.
When Ares dies and then all the Germans are like, oh, what came over us? It's like, you know, World War II happens like 10 years later, right?
And also, Ares sucks.
David Lewis?
As an actor is fine.
He's great.
The character was a CG trash. Which, by the way, I couldn't be like, oh, it's Lupin. Yeah. It's just... But even past
the guy from Island of Dr. Moreau.
Even past that, though, I'm just watching this and being like, you had this amazing first two-thirds of a movie, and then the end, it just really falls apart.
I mean, that's a superhero movie problem, right? Like, the third act always has to be you fist-fighting with a villain who's 9 times out of 10 a CGI construct.
And again, this was the same issue I had with Logan, where people were like, well, that got stubbed. It's like, but again...
Logan was bad.
Yeah. Well, and it's, again... Like, even if I liked Logan, which I didn't really like Logan, but it's still trapped in being a superhero film.
Yeah, but
the third act, it's like, well, he has to fight someone now.
Okay, but not all of them go that way. Like, some of them, most of them do, but, like, even when you look at, like, the big fights and the way you look at... I view Ragnarok as a really great example, or I also view Captain America 2 as a very similar example of...
Right.
You can end it really... well, or even Civil War. Civil War ends very, very well.
Yeah.
On a very psychologically... Yeah. Damaging,
like,
battle.
Right, like as a viewer, I was watching it because, like, in the film, they sort of fuck up the storyline so that Captain America's standpoint doesn't really make sense. Like, but like in the film, even so, like, you're still mostly on Cap's side.
Yeah.
But even then, when the reveal happens and the fight's about to break out, I'm sitting there in the audience like, get him, Tony.
It's exhausting in a good way.
Yeah.
I think Spider-Man Homecoming did a great job of that.
Yeah. And that was it was character stuff. Like, it made it the fight not be about... There's a moment where the plane crashes at Coney Island and Michael Keaton has got Peter. He can kill him, but then he sees the gear that he was going to steal, and that's always been his goal. Like, I need to steal this gear to sell it to provide for me and my family and my workers. So he throws... He doesn't, like, his goal is not to kill Spider-Man. His goal is to get the
yeah,
the gear.
That's the goal.
And so that the fact that that ending sequence paid so much attention to the characters they had established in the film really made it work.
Yeah. Well, it, that's the thing. It works for some movies. It works for others. I'd say true. Black Panther, that was what irritated me so much because they were building this very complex a plot and a complex villain. And then it comes down to, and they fight.
But, they, right, like, but even that then, it's
like
still,
a movie where
the fight still real good.
It was a great really, fight, but it felt out of place.
But that war going on up there is huge too. That's a, that's actually the most important part of that.
Yeah.
Of that ending.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That makes
is
sense.
Is the divisions of the people of Wakanda fighting still, over what's right.
They were still confined by their need to have that at the end.
Well, that's sure. Otherwise, and then, you need a that movie, payoff. That would have been. But like, think about The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight's ending
doesn't end with a fight.
Is it doesn't. It ends
that's a great fucking
differently. And it's good. Yeah. So the superhero trapping the
there's
stereotype.
There's not that many that get to do that.
Ant-Man did it pretty well because it
there's
was
a fight at the end.
It was, but it was a different Ant-Man did the ending of Iron Man 1 better than Iron Man did.
Yeah.
That's what Ant-Man did. But Ant-Man did it in a very clever and funny way because of the scale of the movie, how it changes so drastically.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Doctor Strange does it really well to the where the end that is like kind of a bit almost. And it's fun and funny, but how he keeps getting killed.
Yeah.
That's the big ending there. So the Marvel movies aren't necessarily as trapped as we think they are.
They're also aware. They're aware that they can't just do the same thing over and over again.
Well, that's because Disney is affording amazing talent.
Mm-hmm. If anybody can pay for it.
The writers and the directors and the editors and the cinematographers and the special effects artists are all literally the greatest that you can get. Yeah. And that's not bad.
Meanwhile, it's pretty sweet.
Fucking Justice League and Man of Steel. So Man of Steel, what does he want? He wants to terraform Earth. Justice League, what is he doing? He's going to terraform Earth. It's like, oh, come on, you guys.
Oh, man.
There's more. Oh. There's
more.
Been, like, three things that the villains have done.
Oh, what are they doing at the end of Suicide Squad? What's she trying to do? She's trying to change the Earth.
Yeah.
That's a good segue to Stan Lee reportedly suffering from elder abuse.
Oh, Stanley has been suffering from elder abuse for years.
Yeah.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. No. First and foremost, many of the people, I'm going to say this with a full disclosure, is I have seen him over the past 5 years many times, and it's a sharp decay.
Yeah.
I interviewed him back in late 2013, and Max, who is his old manager, who I'm going to go on record as saying I do not like very much. it was a dick. And he also was kind of doing a lot of like puppety stuff. Like he was like kind of like
he
like
puppeted
when Stan
Their
Lee,
Weekend at Bernie's
like he
him.
Stands behind the camera and he does like to get Stan Lee to say Excelsior. He does like this operatic, like he's conducting
like a stage mom.
Yeah. Like and it was very stage mommy
man.
And
that's I mean, he is in his 90s.
But and here's the thing is they've been working him to the bone because a lot of people depend on him signing stuff.
That's a whole industry, yeah.
$100 plus per signature, doing hundreds and hundreds.
I'll tell you something. Back in like 1992,
there you go.
My brother and I mailed the Series 2 Marvel trading cards to the address they give you in Amazing Spider-Man, you know, like for correspondence or whatever. We mailed them Spider-Man, the Lizard, and Venom, and they were like, can Stan Lee please sign this? We got Spider-Man back signed by Stan Lee just for writing a letter in 1990. I mean, this is 30 years ago. But
still,
like,
yeah.
Wait, you sent a bunch of stuff and you just got the Spider-Man?
We only got one. I never got my cards back. I don't know what happened to them.
Did they take them?
It just probably got lost in the mail, or they just saw it and didn't. But for whatever reason, the Spider-Man card got passed on to Stan Lee, and he signed it, and they mailed it back. My brother still has that card, and it's recognizably Stan Lee's signature.
Right.
There is a severe lack of ethics when there's that much money involved. He commands $250,000 per appearance, and everybody wants to get something signed for him because he's fucking dying. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's...
I have had a problem with it since I first met him. I have one thing signed by Stan Lee, and I bought it as a part of a fundraiser. It's just like an old Tales of Suspense comic, not in great condition, but I had donated to, I think it was the Hero Initiative. Mm-hmm. They were selling it, and I bought it with the under the understanding that it was Stan Lee. It was a charity that supports. Do you know the Hero Initiative? Do you know that charity?
No.
The Hero Initiative is a charity that supports all the Golden Age creators that got fucked by Stan Lee, basically. Because I don't know if you know this, but Stan Lee screwed over a lot of people when he was working for Marvel. Marvel did a lot to steal the rights of what people were creating. So, like, you know, Bill Mantlo, the guy who created Rocket Raccoon, for example.
Oh, yeah,
he got in a car accident and is basically, like, brain damaged, and they don't, like, they live off of charity.
Good God.
To do that. And there are guys, like, when you look at, like, old people eating cat food, a lot of it is people that were creating
Marvel writers.
Yeah, right. Marvel writers and Marvel artists. Steve Ditko will not talk about Spider-Man. He's holed up in a studio apartment with pages of Amazing Spider-Man just sitting on a radiator. Like, he's so burnt by it. Jack Kirby wouldn't even talk about Stan. Stan's like, he would be like, oh, I consider Steve Ditko a co-creator of Spider-Man. And Ditko's like, yeah, that's because I did that. You don't consider it. I am that.
Right. I drew the character.
I mean,
Stan Lee's, I just realized, kind of modern Walt Disney, huh?
Or Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be, he's going to have that same.
He's management.
Yeah.
Do you know how they wrote comics in the 60s? He gave a vague plot outline, yeah, and then he was just, here you go. And then Jack Kirby usually would draw basically script out an entire thing, an entire 22-page issue, leave some word bubbles, and then Stan would show up later and fill in the word bubbles.
Right.
Like, that's how he would do it. And then he was like, I created everything.
Yeah.
So I do have a bit of salt about Stan Lee in his 50s and 60s. Like, I do take umbrage with that. But now it's straight up abuse.
Right.
It's, they're puppeting around a guy who should have stopped 5 years ago. It's,
the whole thing is gross from beginning to end, basically.
His daughter.
It's like if Walt Disney hadn't died and they were just having this, like, 100-year-old.
Dragging him around, yeah.
Yeah, at Disney, sitting on some chair for people to, like, go up to and shake the hand of for, like, $100.
And Stan is Frodo in the spider webs, and there's just goblins and orcs fighting over his body at this point in time.
Yeah. It's very bad.
Like, it's gross, and it's unfortunate, and it's sad, and I don't like it.
Well, that's not really something to get hyped about.
Get hyped about Stan Lee. Look, he's going to die soon.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the other thing, too, and it's going to be devastating. Like, when Stan Lee dies, everyone's going to be devastated, except for Steve Ditko. He'll probably be fine with it.
Stan Lee will be okay with it, too.
Excuse
me. I want to talk about the fact that the new Terminator is being pushed to November 2019, for I had forgotten that there was a new Terminator.
There is, and it's only being pushed back like 4 months. It was supposed to come out in the summer of 2019. Now it's coming out in the fall because we're going to be more starved for Terminator content.
Who cares?
In November of 2019.
They
Who cares?
Need to stop.
They need to stop making Terminator movies.
Yeah, I think I'm all set, Terminator. Like,
it's
think I'm
fine.
Good.
I mean, maybe stop making Arnold Schwarzenegger in them.
It's not, didn't work. It didn't work.
I mean, we tried that, and it also didn't do well.
They've done it so much.
That's fair. Well, I mean, Terminator Salvation is actually not a bad movie.
That's the thing. We didn't try. We made Terminator Salvation, which was like, hey, let's do a Terminator movie based off of the thing that people don't care about. Like, with Terminator.
The Robot War? Yeah,
legitimately
I super
tried to
don't
do a
care
Terminator
about the
movie.
Robot War.
I actually think it would be make a way better.
Really? That's like the part I care the least about.
It's not a badly made movie. It just I didn't fucking care.
I like the idea of people versus the, like, waves of these machines versus just a bunch of people in the past hiding from one. Like, it's because, like, honestly, I mean, Terminator 2 is arguably a masterpiece.
It's, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's one of the finest films ever made.
The first Terminator is fine.
It's pretty good.
It's all right. It's certainly the second best Terminator of all time.
Yes.
But, like, Terminator Genesis was boring and
that's a bad film.
Convoluted and dumb.
Yeah.
Terminator 3 is, like,
all right in the way Transformers 3 was all right, where you're like, all right, well, this is as best as you were going to do.
Yeah. This is really all I could have hoped for a Transformers
Terminator
3.
Terminator 3?
Yeah.
We were talking about before this is that it does, it definitely is the best attempt, because I like the ending of Terminator 3. I like some of the stuff they did. I liked, this was just the time it was made. I liked seeing Terminators fight in a CGI, with like CGI. I hadn't seen that before. Like, I hadn't seen Terminators pick each other up and throw each other against the wall. I liked that they did like a truck chase and they tried to do something like they did practical effects and practical stunts. And again, I liked the ending. It was a bummer ending, which was...
That's how Terminator movies are kind of supposed to be.
Yeah, it was
they ran into a mountain bunker with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. And then they...
Oh, shit.
He is in that bunker.
Yeah,
that's right. Recording a Nerdist podcast.
Right, yeah. One of the 19 shows he hosts.
And the fucking world ends. It was a good idea. They could have ended it right there.
Motherfucker.
You guys got to hold on to your phones.
I know. It's been an issue.
I shake my legs a lot, and I keep my phone sort of between my crotch.
You just put it on a flat surface.
I don't want you guys to see all the weird porn I'm getting mailed to me.
Fine.
What?
So a new Terminator movie that we're not going to give a shit about.
James Cameron is saying, oh, it's great. He said that about the last one. Stop trying to trick us. You're a monster.
You're just trying to make money. It's fine.
Terminator Genisys was a cool idea because you could do the 80s Arnold. You could like now do that with the texture mapping and everything.
That
conceptually,
stuff looked good.
Conceptually,
I like the idea of old Terminator.
It took me a while to watch that movie. Like, it has been, because it was on Amazon very quickly.
Forever, yeah.
And I was just playing a game of not today Terminator Genisys. Like, every time, like, I'm not going to watch this. And then one day I was sick. I was like, I'm going to watch this. I shouldn't have watched this.
There's it's a bad movie, but there's some stuff that's, like, strange, like inexplicable bad. There's still, and I mean, maybe someone on Twitter can tell me if this makes sense. There's a part when they go into the Skynet at the end, and they're defeating the Terminator, and they've, like, broken in. Like, they had a helicopter crash that goes into it.
Yeah.
And then, everything's blowing up, and they need to go in a bunker real quick. And Sarah Connor, like, runs to a voice-activated door and says, like, Sarah Connor, and it beeps green and goes in. Like, she works there. Like, I have to go back and watch this. It was one of those weird moments where it was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, where it was fundamentally broken moments of the film where it's like, weird contradictions or like huge holes, gaps in the plot.
Also, how much of a weird curveball was it when you finally realized that was Daenerys Targaryen?
Oh, man.
When you're like, oh.
I mean, I knew from the advertising.
Oh, yeah.
But like, yeah. It was
you're like,
strange.
Oh, she is a brunette.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
She doesn't have platinum hair.
Now they're bringing back Linda Hamilton, and it's like.
Yeah.
I like that, actually.
Yeah.
You're right, though, about the idea of the Terminator. Aging.
I liked that idea.
Because also in Terminator 2, people always gloss over the fact that they do feel pain. That everything they do
recognizes it.
But they have sensors in it, and they have touch and pressure sensors, which means they have pain sensors to recognize that, which means they are feeling pain. So everything he does when he cuts, like
when he
pulls it off, like he feels the
arm.
Pain of
that.
Jesus.
He says the data can be interpreted as pain.
Yeah.
He says something like that about it.
Which kind of implies, or at least the way I pull it, that they actually do kind of feel it.
In a way, yeah.
And so that, to me, really changes the dynamic of when he's protecting people and getting shot in the back or when he's dealing with all that stuff.
Yeah, he senses that his body is dying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do we want to talk about... We don't want to talk about Walking Dead finale.
Nah.
No, because who watches that show
shit.
Anymore?
My sister was like the last holdout because she really liked the comics and... Then they did.
Comics
I think Carl got bit or something like that.
Pretty bad.
Nah,
Carl got.
I think that dude was in the right place at the right time. I think the comics are very poorly written.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that one, but
really?
I don't like the show. Yeah, I think it was really, really well done.
Well, either way, I got a text from my sister a couple months ago that was just like, "This show is bad," or something like that. Like, "This show needs to stop." She was the last holdout I knew for that show, and I think she's also given up because it's just a bad show, right?
I mean. I just got over it. Like, I think that's what most people did.
Well,
it's not that it's necessarily a bad show. It just, people got
right,
bored.
You can't do the same
it.
Thing
it's
for
the same
6 years.
Over and over again. Yeah. They're their own worst enemies. The zombies aren't the problem anymore.
That's always been the problem.
Point.
Yeah, the whole point
the
is
walking,
it's about the people.
Right, the Walking right, right. Dead refers
but
to them.
The I think the show has, I read this recently, like, it's only taken place these seasons in like two states. And it's like, well, there's your problem, guys. You got to like look around more. Like, they have
cars. Do you know
how
hard it is to
shit?
Get to a new state?
They have cars.
There's okay. That's a weird
I mean,
criticism.
I can drive across Georgia in a day.
Not when there's fucking everything blocking the
there's
pathway and hordes
like
of zombies. Like that's that I don't like the show, but that is a weird problem to have because you can't do it when all of the roads are blocked with tipped over campers,
right,
and
but
zombies
even,
everywhere.
They haven't showed that they haven't tried.
Roving bands of cannibals.
You'd think after traveled. Almost a decade they could get to some new scenery.
That's the thing. They've been in the woods for fucking seven seasons. And they keep talking about, like, I wonder what's going on in Washington. And it's like, well, why don't you show us, you jackasses? Like, show us something. Show us. The first season really bugged me because they were like, we're going to the CDC. We're going to find out what this is. And then, of course, that fails. And then they never really try any. Like, they've just decided, okay, this is our life now. And we're going to live in the zombie world. And I thought I was watching a show where we would eventually, like, see progress.
That not everything stuff. Not everything has to be about the cure. That's why
but then at least traveling to new and interesting locations.
But, fair enough, but that's why I Am Legend ended up being a bad movie when it was supposed to be a good movie.
Right.
Because they changed the ending to be like, now we have a cure, whereas yeah. the real point was there
He's the
isn't
monster.
A cure.
They're like
you're the Neanderthal in a land of homo.
Right, and he was also the point was that he was the first half of I Am Legend is a real good movie.
Yeah. I have a
He never should have met another person, and they should have kept it where he was the fucking monster.
Yeah. I have a weird story about that where my friend worked at a radio station back home, and he got me tickets to the Madison Square Garden premiere.
That's weird.
And like we like took a bus, and it was just me and a bunch of Massachusetts yokels saying the names of every store in New York that they drove by. But I got to go watch it in the premiere, and like they just mixed everybody up. And so at one point in time, I was like right next to Will Smith, like in Madison Square Garden while we're watching this movie.
Sweet.
It was just the weirdest experience.
Did you smell him? What did he smell
like? What did he smell like? Did he smell good?
I'm sorry, what?
Did he smell good?
I did not think
he smelled fresh.
Okay.
I mean, I don't recall him smelling poorly.
Dave, you want to talk about movies that deserve more hype?
I do.
Hype up a movie, Dave.
Hype the shit out of a movie that's not Elder Abuse for Stanley.
This is coming out, I think, later this year. There's no exact date for it. It's called Inversion. It's based off of an idea that I've had for a really long time that I was... It's not like... It's an idea I'm sure a lot of people have had, but I always wondered, like, why hasn't anybody made a movie about it? It's about... this world where our gravity keeps randomly shutting off. So, like, everybody just suddenly falls upwards. Cities are destroyed. And only in, like, random locations. I should note that this is probably going to be a dumb movie. It's probably going to be a disaster film. And it's the main plot is about a, quote, a streetwise American con man who teams up with a young Chinese physicist and they race against the clock to save the Earth.
What's the budget
the
on
loss
this?
Of gravity. I hope it's like $300 million.
Is it a big? Oh yeah. Well, when you said Chinese physicist, I'm like, oh, so this is a joint venture,
right?
Which means it's probably going to be a big movie.
Yeah, and they're getting. Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear about this movie eventually, but there's enough information on it that I feel like we should be psyching ourselves up for it now.
Look at some of this information. It stars Samuel Jackson.
Yes. Yeah, well, it doesn't. I don't think
every
it
movie
stars
Samuel
Jackson. He plays the Homeland Security agent who, for some reason, believes that the con man and the physicist are responsible
for
the
manipulating
gravity.
Gravity.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he thinks that, and he's like chasing them.
The ultimate con.
So it's like, yeah, it's like a chase movie.
It's
but
a formidable
no
con
gravity.
Man.
And then it's the director of Tommy Boy. So
sure.
Who's only done really comedies. I was looking at his, he did Anger Management, Get Smart, 51st Days.
I liked
Get
Smart, by the way.
He did the third Naked Gun film. And now he's doing this.
That had a bomb in it.
It did have a bomb.
That had a nuclear bomb in it.
So it's sort of, it's this movie deserves hype in the sense of what is this movie?
And I'm into it.
Yeah.
It's going to be probably like Geostorm, right?
I hope.
Jeez. We can hope for Geostorm. Yeah. Geostorm 2.
I'm very excited about
Somebody's turned off the gravity.
Did you see the Hurricane Heist?
Not yet.
No.
I really want
to. It's out, isn't it?
I mean, it was in theaters a couple of weeks. I don't know if it's on streaming.
Wasn't this one of your hype movies?
Sort of.
I think we talked about it, right?
I think it was on your like movies to be hyped about, and you didn't see it?
No. I don't think we got an opportunity to.
You can go to the movies.
I still haven't seen Isle of Dogs, and I really need to see that. Yeah, so it's hard to see the Hurricane Heist when I haven't seen Isle of Dogs.
I saw, what was it I saw? Oh, I saw Blockers last night, because MoviePass.
Right.
So I can just see whatever I want. It's fine. It's a fine comedy. It's other than the fact that John Cena never once addresses the fact that he's a muscle-bound monster, which right. you have to bring
he
that
sure
up.
He sure has to, yeah.
You can't look like that and right, just not be like, I got to go back to cop training or something like that. It's not bad. It's a cute little coming-of-age, modern American Pie kind of.
Yeah, I've heard it was like American Pie.
It's cute. It's a good little movie. I saw the sound movie. That was fine. The monsters in the sound.
Quiet Place.
Right. Quiet Place. It's good.
You could have called it The Monsters in the Sound.
Monsters in the Sound. So go see Inversion whenever that comes out.
I mean, I'm sure they won't need us to tell them to see Inversion.
No, that's going
to
get.
The director, by the way, Peter Sagal, is apparently directing after this, and I can only assume it's what it is. It's called Harvey. I assume he's
a remake of the Giant Rabbit film.
Yeah, which kind of bums me out because I wish someone...
Better.
Yeah.
Would make Harvey. Yeah.
But we don't know.
Or better yet, not do it.
He also did Grudge Match, which I think is actually a serious movie.
Grudge Match.
Isn't that the one with like
Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone and Schwarzenegger?
Oh, cool.
No, and De Niro.
Oh, that came out on my birthday one year.
Is that any good?
I don't know.
Because that looks like not a comedy. So he's done one not a comedy.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, that's an episode. That's
certainly an episode.
Certainly an episode. We've been rambling forever.
Yeah,
Jeff, where can we find you?
You can find me on the internet. My social media is at Hey There Jeffro, HeyThereJeffro. I'm hoping to get some new projects off the ground pretty soon. And then if you're in LA, Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month. So that would be tonight, I believe, from when this is going up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So tonight in beautiful downtown Burbank on Magnolia. In Magnolia Park at Blast from the Past. It's a real good show. It's free. We get food trucks. It's in a toy store.
It's awesome.
Very on brand.
it's very cool. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. We have the next couple of months of lineups are just so... I think we have like 5 people doing their Conans. That's getting ready.
Oh, word.
Shit.
Like,
shit.
It's, we kind of ended up... And now that, unfortunately, rest in peace, Nerd Melt. Now that they're really done, we are... I think one of the maybe the only comic book store show. I think there's one in Santa Monica, but that doesn't count. You're on the west side.
You're gonna take this shit over.
I don't want to do that.
I know,
love Nerd Melt.
Nerd
Melt was my favorite.
Nerd Melt was great.
Comedy
but from
club.
The ashes, you will rise.
But yeah. So like I said, Mint on Card, and that's at Mint on Card Show on Twitter. It's toy themed. It's fun. We give away free. It's so much fun. It's just fun.
It is.
Come to it.
Yeah.
Come on down. No tricks here.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
I know you guys pre-record your plugs, so it's so weird.
I've got a plug all ready to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody, they're already listening to the channel that we'd plug.
Yeah,
so
everybody, you do a plug after, right?
I do.
Everybody stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
And check,
really,
subscribe to our shit.
And check me out tomorrow on the Gamefully Unemployed stream.
That's right.
D&D.
I am dusting off my D&D chops to obliterate whatever made character you guys have.
That's not a problem.
I am going to just, whoever the next guest is going to be so angry from what I'm going to do to this character.
Soren set you up pretty well for the previous time.
Oh, I'm going to skateboard, son of a bitch.
Yeah, you're going to skateboard.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at the Corlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info. Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.